Brett, you're here in Edmonton today. You just finished giving a talk to the people from the Canadian Country Music Awards. They're here for their awards ceremony. And you were talking to them about entrepreneurship and life. What message were you trying to get across to people today?
Well, when I decided to take on the task of speaking to the Music Association, knowing that there'd be everyone from artists up and coming to experience to labels to agents and managers, I pulled back and said, all right, what kind of overall messaging do I want to get across? And a lot of it was about life balance, ethics, and then about life advice in terms of education. And my real focus there is the study of entrepreneurship, the study of marketing, and the study of philanthropy.
Now, you started off your life as an engineer, but you very quickly went into the whole field of entrepreneurship and business. What prompted you or motivated you to go in that direction?
When I came out of high school in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, I really had two choices at the time, engineering or business. And I was strong in the sciences, and so I think my major mentor in my life in terms of education was my mother, and she pushed me towards engineering. But very quickly I discovered that there was a program called an MBA, which would allow me to, in 2 years, pick up and capture the essence of business on top of my engineering degree, whereas I couldn't do it the other way. I couldn't do a four-year business degree and a two-year engineering degree. So for me, the ideal combination was engineering followed by business.
What would you say is the state of entrepreneurship in Canada today?
Well, I always argue that Canada was formed by the original entrepreneurs, the hunters, the trappers, the farmers, and the fur traders were very much entrepreneurs in their own right. And entrepreneurial experiences, like building a railway to unify a nation, was entrepreneurial. So I think as a nation, we are still very entrepreneurial. Post the war, entrepreneurship was the essence of rebuilding our nation. And now as we move into a very technology-driven digital age, entrepreneurship is still very much the norm. My biggest fear is that we don't celebrate entrepreneurship, which is the exploitation of innovation, for me, the way we need to. And it's coming. That's part of my message, is the study and really celebration of the entrepreneurial mindset.
But does the country support that enough? Does it give entrepreneurs enough support so that they're successful?
I think it's up to the entrepreneurs, not the country. And that's really about empowerment. I've yet to meet an entrepreneur that suffers from entitlement. And when we start using our country as the driver to set up a mindset of entitlement for the entrepreneurs because we're here, we get to have a business, I'm the opposite, which is create an environment for sure of proper taxes, of good education, of infrastructure. But I think innovation will take care of itself if we foster an entrepreneurial environment. And for me, that's educating in the world of entrepreneurship from a very young age and celebrating the entrepreneurs of our country.
So in other words, we need more education on how to be an entrepreneur, is that correct?
Well, I happen to argue that a core part of our high school and undergrad education at all levels, if you will, should be the study of marketing, entrepreneurship, and philanthropy, because when you tie those together, well, marketing is critical to absolutely everyone. Coming out of high school, coming out of university, coming out of trade school, I don't care what you're doing, you have to differentiate yourself to either get a job, get a client, get ahead. And that's marketing, whether they like it or not. So the study of marketing, and then an extension of that to me is the study of entrepreneurship and philanthropy, because understanding what other people have done in those worlds will inspire you if you understand marketing. And that's why the three are so important.
What do you see as being the relationship between entrepreneurship and innovation?
Well, I happen to think that entrepreneurs tend to innovate. So it's really chicken and egg, I guess. Some would argue, does innovation lead to an entrepreneurial experience? Less often than some people think. There's this idea that, well, if I come up with a new widget, a new board game, that I will then be an entrepreneur. No, I think the great entrepreneurs are people who say, you know what, I'm going to come up with a couple of products and I'm going to see where I can go with them. So the product comes after the entrepreneur, not trying to build around just a single innovation. I think an entrepreneurial mindset is one that incorporates on a sustainable and continued, repeatable basis, I guess is what I'm saying, the concept of innovation.
I can see that on the level of dealing with individual inventors. But when you have things on a bigger scale where you're dealing with research coming out of universities and other sorts of organizations, there's a big push now, it seems, for commercialization, sort of bridging that gap. Do you have any thoughts on that bigger scale?
Well, there's a number of universities that are setting up incubators that are looking to sort of foster an environment for the entrepreneurial experience. But we do have those commercialization exercises being done across Canada, and that's where they're attempting to take this brilliant idea and turn it into a business. So sometimes if it's not driven by the business needing to solve a problem, and I'm going to use the example of short-line farm equipment. Short-line farm equipment are the small pieces of equipment that for the most part were invented by the farmers to solve a problem. Millions have been made in the world of short-line farm equipment, and a lot of those products weren't invented by the big companies. They were invented by the farmers who then said, I'm solving a need. It wasn't someone going in a research lab, gee, this would be a cool piece of equipment, and hoping someone would buy it. And that's one of the problems with the innovation centers at many of the universities. They're trying to take what is research driven, which is self-interest. It isn't necessarily driven by what the market wants, but rather by this dream. And so there's the gap. And so when people talk about bridging the gap, I happen to think that a real-world focus on doing the research initiatives, and to that end, I'm actually going to be more involved with the rest of my life doing what's called prizing, where you use the concept of using a reward, an economic reward, just as the XPRIZE did to create interest in going into space and back. I will use the XPRIZE model to accelerate research in certain areas of prostate cancer, for example, or in the world of sustainable change around recovering plastics in the third world. Again, we can trigger outcomes with a prize. So rather than hoping that a research lab has created the innovation that the world wants, why don't we go and ask the research lab to create the innovation that the world needs?
So necessity is the mother of invention.
You couldn't have said it better.
From what you've seen in your experience in business and also, you know, being on Dragon's Den, would you say that Canada has an innovation deficit?
I don't feel like there's a deficit in innovation. I feel that we have lagged the world in celebrating entrepreneurship, because I keep emphasizing it's the entrepreneurs who are going to drive innovation, because they're on the ground and they're solving problems. And one of the greatest solutions to a problem is to innovate a new answer, as opposed to creating an environment where, oh, we're all going to sit around and innovate and see what we do with it. And again, I'm taking the metric and flipping it and saying, why don't we celebrate, encourage, and build a spirit and an environment where entrepreneurship is the norm. I still remember, I'll be candid with you about this, I was up and running my own business for more than a year when my dad and a friend of his, we were sitting having dinner, and they asked if I was still looking for a job. Well, see, that's not celebrating the entrepreneurial difference. They didn't ask how the business was going, they didn't ask where I was taking it, they asked if I was still looking for a job. So that means that we as a nation, and I'm expanding on a very small data point, but the real point is, I'm driving at, is that we need to do what we can to encourage the entrepreneurial spirit out of that. So if the goal is entrepreneurship, the result will be innovation. If the goal is innovation, I don't know where you go with it. Thank you very much. But if you haven't got relevant, useful, practical, needs-driven innovation, you just have pure academic research. And is there a place for pure academic research? Of course. But I don't need it in the world of entrepreneurship.
You live and work in Calgary, but you maintain a strong connection to Saskatchewan. And you've also set up a center at the University of Saskatchewan. What is it and why did you set this up?
Well, I came to grips with the need for what we call the Wilson Center for Entrepreneurial Excellence. About 7, 8, 9 years ago, when the university approached me and said, we would like to have our own center. This was before Dragon's Den, and I jumped all over it and said, you know what, we do need to have a place where collisions occur. And it's collisions between students, not business students, but students of all make and caliber, of all ethnicities, all make and genre, of gender and religion. Didn't matter what their backgrounds were. I wanted to excite the entrepreneurial spirit in the students. And coming out of law or engineering or vet med or business, didn't matter. I wanted a center of excellence for the entrepreneur spirit. And then guess what? Dragon's Den came along a few years later and allowed me to explode the profile of this center.
So what are some of the things that people would get out of it?
Well, in the center, the first thing I describe is the opportunity for collisions, which is meeting like-minded people, because that's inspirational in itself when you start to hang with people who are going, how can I change the world with my own business? That's entrepreneurship. And then, of course, they provide a format and a forum for education and learning experiences, and there's competitions, and I do an annual event where I talk, as I do often, about my vision of where the world could go with an entrepreneurial mindset.
You have a book, and it seems to be quite a success. There were certainly lots of people here today looking to have you sign it. What did you try to get across in your book?
Well, the book was, candidly, a bit of a mishmash. As one of my friends said, Wilson, that book should be in the comedy section because your life is a joke. And he was teasing me, of course, about the wide range of things that I've been involved in, from music to sports to various hundreds of different types of businesses, and then, of course, some profile as a dragon. The book is a combination of autobiographical experiences, it's a combination of updates on Dragon's Den, and it's a combination of experiences that I'd still like to undertake in my life. So it's a broad cross section of opening up the brain of Brett and seeing what goes on. So it's a little bit about what I've done in the world of entrepreneurship, a little bit about family, a little bit about the mistakes I've made, a little bit about challenging people to think differently about everything from intergenerational wealth transfer to the use of charity as a marketing budget.
And I think we better get the name of it.
Redefining Success, Still Making Mistakes.
Thank you very much, Brett.
I appreciate this time, Cheryl.